Hi Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to our messages. If you want more information about our service times, campus locations, or anything else, why don't you check us out at planetshakers.com. Now for the sermon. We have none other than Pastor Russell Evans, founder of Planet Shakers, speaking on the cost, selfless sacrifice. We pray it blesses you.
Today I want to speak to you on the topic, the cost, or the cost of revival, or paraphrase, selfless sacrifice. You see, Jesus paid the price for our sin. Everyone say, thank God for that. He paid the price so that you and I could be free. The Bible says it's a free gift that we've been given by God. But there's also, when you come part of something, not but, and, you come a part of something, to carry what you carry, you have grace, unmerited favor to carry it. But there is a cost to living in revival. Revival just doesn't pop out of the sky. Revival is something we pursue. And Jesus is revival. We have Him in us. We live with Him in us. But we pursue Him with all our might. And how many know that we live in a world that many times does not want, they do want revival, they just don't know it. But many times they want to stop, not they, but the spirit of Antichrist wants to stop Christ moving in this world. And so there is a cost. And Jesus one day was talking and he said to his disciples, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross. Everyone say, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. In other words, if you live for yourself and live for all the things about you and you and you and you, you'll lose your life. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? In the Message version, it says, anyone who intends to come after me has to let me lead. Everyone say, let Jesus lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. This is Jesus talking. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Everyone say, ouch. He says, follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. In Scripture, the Bible talks about the church being many things, talks about us being the bride. So we need to come and be a beautiful bride. Nothing worse than having a Godzilla bride. A bride that is very difficult to deal with. I've done many weddings and I don't think I've ever had a Godzilla bride. Thank God. In fact, No, I haven't. Did I marry you guys? Yeah, I did. But no, that wasn't Godzilla. That was a little bit. No, it wasn't a little bit. That was the relatives from America. Not really. Just one. You've just thrown me on a whole nother path. We are a bride. When a bride comes to a bride to get married, she doesn't turn up and doesn't work at it. She comes beautiful. And we got to show the beauty of Jesus to the world. We represent His beauty. We are His bride. Bible also talks to us about being a family. And how many know in a family, each of us have a role in a family? Whether to clean your room, whether to clean the yard, whether to be a part of cleaning the dishes, whatever. Everybody has a role. Everyone say, I have a role. There's a cost to it. The Bible also talks about us being soldiers of God. In other words, we're in the army of God. So in every spiritual battle, there is a price, there is a cost to living this life. And so what we experience in Christendom, what we experience in the earth, what we experience with the things of God, other people have gone before us and paved the way. You are sitting in a building tonight that many of you have not paid for. You're sitting on seats that many of you have not paid for. Someone has gone before and paid the price. So I want to talk to you about the lessons on the cost of revival. Someone said, great, that's good. There's two. That's who are they? I need to, it's my fourth sermon for the day, y'all. I sound like Rudy, y'all. You notice that Rudy doesn't really speak English anymore. He speaks American English. We're helping him correct that behavior. Process. It's process. You say process. Good. You're awesome. Praise God. Number one. Everyone say number one. The cost of revival, or lessons on the cost of revival. We need to learn to deal with and overcome opposition. You and I are going to walk a life of victory and breakthrough, but there will be opposition to your destiny. The devil doesn't sit back and say, go win the world. No, no, no. He will try to bring intimidation. He will try to bring manipulation. He'll try to bring opposition. And we got to understand that when there's opposition coming our way, it's all about making us better, not bitter. When you go to the gym, you have a thing, and you do weights, you have a thing called resistance training. And what happens is, as you pull on a weight, you have resistance which builds you stronger. And the more times you go, the more resistance you can withstand, the more opposition you can withstand. And so that's the same with opposition in life. You have resistance many times to your destiny, your future, the calling of God. And if you bow to it, you will no longer become strong. You will let it overtake you. But my Bible says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Then my Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. So when you feel the opposition, you feel resistance, it's okay. You're just getting stronger. You just got to have a mindset. There's a cost to this resistance, but I'm prepared to pay it. Second thing. We need to learn to keep focus on the task. See, the problem is many times people get distracted from the task or the calling of God. So many times the enemy tries to entice us out of our destiny. I've discovered, when I teach on leadership, I say, what you focus on is what you get. We as a church focus on the presence of God. Guess what happens? God turns up. We focus on winning lost people. Guess what happens? People get saved. We focus on seeing people healed. And guess what happens? People get healed. We focus on being a family and being connected. Guess what happens? We're a family and we're connected. We focus on being discipleship. And guess what happens? Disciples are made. We focus on excellence. And guess what happens? Excellence happens before your very eyes. What you focus on is what you get. So if you get distracted from what you're focused on, guess what happens? Your energy goes into the distraction, not the focus. So there's a cost. You got to be focused this year. Be focused for revival. Be focused for acceleration. Be a focus to see God move. When you're focused on Him, He moves. When you focus on your problem, you're consumed. Keep focus. The third thing, overcoming the pleasing others syndrome. So many people live wanting the accolades of people, or the if I upset them, or I got to make them happy. And so many people compromise the very thing that God has created them to do because they're worried what people think. They're worried about the opinions of others. I have a friend who is no longer with us. He's the world's greatest evangelist the world has ever seen, probably. His name is Reinhard Bonnke. And he's seen millions and millions. I think in his lifetime, he saw over 60 million people give their life to Christ. Over twice the population of Australia. 60 million. And I remember the first time I had him come and preach at Planet Shakers Conference in Brisbane, I said to him, because he is a legend, you know, he's seen people raised from the dead, he's seen miracles, salvation, he is just off the chart. And when you're with him, he always talks about Jesus. I remember one time Neil and I met him at Denver Airport, and we go, oh, how are you doing? And we're talking about, and we were jet lagged and we were tired, but he began to speak about Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus, he would say. Oh, power to Jesus. And all of a sudden our jet lag went in a moment, and we're in this little diner in the airport, and the presence of God came. And I remember saying to him when he first came to Queensland, I said to him to our conference, I said, so honored to have you here, Reinhard. And he said, oh, glory to Jesus. I said, no, Reinhard, it's great to have you here. You are such a blessing to the body of Christ. He goes, oh, glory to Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, I know it's all glory to Jesus, but we want to honor you a little bit. He goes, oh, glory to Jesus. Then he says to me this one thing. He goes, I've been criticized a lot in my life. I'm like, really? He goes, but I'm immune to people's criticisms. Wouldn't that be an awesome life that have you're immune to criticism of people? What people think of you, wouldn't that be awesome? Someone thinks good of you or bad of you, oh, I'm immune to your criticism. And I said, why is that? Why are you immune? How do you become immune to people's criticisms? He says, I'm immune to their praises, so I'm immune to their criticisms. He says, there's only one I want praise from, and he is Jesus, and he is all glory to Jesus. And so we got to understand that pleasing others will stop us many times. You see, God doesn't want us to be a peacekeeper. He wants us to be a peacemaker. See, peacekeepers compromise what they really believe. Peacemakers bring peace into a situation, even if there's not agreement. Overcoming pleasing others. The fourth thing, perseverance. When I've discovered that how God builds is layer upon layer, precept upon precept, line upon line. And I've discovered this, that God brings a suddenly moment in a place of expectation and preparation. The upper room just didn't happen. They just went, well, no, what they were doing is God had prepared them and said, wait for the Holy Spirit. They just weren't there randomly. They were there strategically. And so many people live random lives and they wonder why there is not a suddenly in your life. A suddenly comes when you strategically position yourself for suddenly moments. And suddenly moments come when you live a life line upon line, precept upon precept, and I'm going to persevere and I'm going to push through and I'm going to push through all the things that will try to hold me back and I'm going to step into my destiny. And at one moment there comes a tipping point that suddenly comes. You know, when we started the church, the very first venue we were was RMIT Story Hall. The next week, we had 1,000 people there. The next week, we were at Capitol Theatre down the road because we couldn't get Story Hall that. And then the next week, we were at another place and we went back to Story Hall. We were there for 5 weeks and then we had to go somewhere else. And I reckon we were in so many venues. It's not the best way to start a church. And I would get so frustrated. We need our own venue. And then we eventually went to Dallas Brooks and we're. And then I'm like, we need our own venue. So we looked at Docklands and we had this deal all stitched up, we thought, and it fell over at the last minute. And I was disappointed. I was like, that's so frustrating. But I kept persevering. And then we found another place in the Docklands and we invested and we got architects involved and there were developers involved and we thought we were going to do it, but it fell over at the last minute. And I was really disappointed. I was thinking, I actually said, I'm not looking anymore. I don't want to be more disappointed. And I remember our board talking and two of them said, can we go looking? I said, yes, what have you been doing? You've been relying on me to look. So they started looking and they came to me and they said, we've got this place at 400 City Road. It's almost factories. It used to be factories or what do they call these places? Warehouses that are next to each other and it's a part of a development. We should look at that. And so we did. And there were What you don't know is that there's a beam right there across the middle. That was a wall, and that back section, there was no back walls there. That was all into the MPH. That was one room, and then this was another room, and we knocked down the wall, we reinforced it, and we lifted the floor, and now we have a 2,000-seat auditorium. And so that was exciting. We're like, yes! But when we went into it, we actually, before that, we were with one bank, and another bank chased us and said, we know your vision's big. We want to get behind it, because they saw our finances were good. And so we said, okay, cool. And they said, yes, we'll give you approval for a development. Well, awesome. We start the development and they say, we're not giving you approval anymore because you don't own this building. You're developing a building that... And we just valued Northeast Campus, which was used to be valued at $7 million and got valued at $4.5 million. And they said, we're not giving you any money. I'm like, this is the middle of building this. I feel like giving up. But when you have a vision and when you believe in revival, you persevere. I remember going into this bank and they were just, I'm like, you headhunted us. You promised us. No. I won't tell you the bank's name, but we don't bank with them anymore. But I can tell you they're not the East Bank. They're not called Eastpak, whatever. So if you work there, God bless you, change it. So I remember in these corporate offices, I got into the lift and there was these people, because we were talking, we had this negotiator, and he was like, oh, I could take them on because they promised. I said, no, they drive me crazy. And I did this in the lift. I went like this. I dusted my feet. And I said, my God is bigger than any of these people. We're going to persevere. And then when we came in, we eventually got some people, the Baptists came to our rescue. They have a Baptist financial services and they came to our rescue and they gave us a loan and it was so cool. And they backed our vision. Then when we moved in here, about 100 people left. And these were older people who had money, who were givers, and they left. And I'm like, God, how are we doing this? I thought you'd give me a vision. You should be bringing more people like that in. And God says, don't worry. I said, what do you mean, don't worry? There were some weeks where you didn't even know if we could pay wages. But what did we do? We came to God and got an idea and we persevered. So now, within 4 years, we paid off all the debt. We own all our stuff in 4 years. Amazing. They thought it was going to take us 15, but it took four. But we're not going to sit and settle down, because my next point is you got to bring energy and passion if you want to see a revival. So we need campuses, buildings in our southeast and our north campus. We have a building that we got given land in South Africa. We need a building in South Africa. It's going to cost us $5 million Australian. And to be honest, I want to settle down and go, we're debt free. But when you have a vision, you say, we got more places to take. When you have a vision, you go say, we got more everywhere our foot treads. And so we're not settling down, we're stirring up, because we're going to come with energy and passion, because this world needs Jesus. Number six, the cost of revival is people who take initiative. They take steps where everyone else is scared to. In a global pandemic, we're taking steps in South Africa where people are scared to. We're taking steps in what we're doing. Why? Because we believe in what God has put on our heart. We believe in the promises of God, a yes and amen. And we believe the greatest days for South Africa, the Southeast, the North, Melbourne and beyond, Singapore, wherever we are ahead of us. And so we are going to do things that take initiative. We're not going to sit back on our laurels and say, Laurel and Hardy, bad joke. We're going to get on the front foot. And we're, you know, the borders are closed and there's, you know, all the international students. You know, we have at least 2,000, 3,000 students that would normally come into church. But this room's full. Our 3:30's full. 11:30's full. And our 9 o'clock's almost full. 9:30's full. If you add all those other students in, we need to create 2 more services. Why? Because we decided we weren't going to sit on our laurels. By the way, in Australia, people have come back to church. 60% of people have come back to churches. 60%. I can tell you a big church, big churches that I know that are 50% back. We're not that. Why? Not because we're any good, but we decided we're going to take initiatives and we're going to be on the front foot because it's a cost to revival. And lastly, it takes time. You know what a precious commodity in the world today is? Time. Because time represents a whole heap of things. What I give my time to is what I say is important. You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will also. What does your time doing do? If you think about it, we work 40 hours a week plus to get resources so we can do things we enjoy in our time. That's why time is important to people. And so if you want to see a revival, it's going to cost you some time. A 7 a.m. prayer meeting time. Yeah, but I have my sleep time. If you want a revival, if my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their ways, and I'll heal their land and they'll hear from heaven. 7 a.m. time. Urban life time. Getting a family. Church time. Witnessing time. And giving time. See, we give our time, we give our talents, we give our resources, we give our energy, we give our passion, and sometimes it costs us. Sometimes we feel like, oh, if I could be doing this, I could be doing that. And I see this sometimes. People say, well, I'm just going to have a break from involvement for 12 months and focus on myself. That's not a cost for revival. Yourself won't change the world. If you're just focusing on yourself, Jesus will. See, if we need a refresh, why don't we cut out going to the gym more than going to church? Ooh, pain. Oh. Or maybe something we like doing that we, and I'm not against having all that. I'm just saying, if you're going to give up something, don't give up your involvement. Because your involvement is critical to your eternity. There's a cost for your time. You know, when people were sent off to war, do you think they really wanted to end up on the battlefield? But they knew that they would cost them time, cost them vision, cost them potentially their life. But they were prepared to pay a price because it was a cause bigger than themselves. We have the greatest cause in all the world. It is the cause of Jesus Christ. It is the cause that will save a sinner from hell. It is the cause that will change my eternity forever. It is the cause that will change our nations. It is the cause that will bring breakthrough and healing. It is the cause. So if the cause is so great, then the cost of our time and our energy and our passion isn't that great. If the cause is so great, then our focus is never in question because the cause is greater than us. See, Christianity isn't just a bless me, feel me, socially good time. Christianity, Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? Sit on the beach all week. No, it doesn't say that. It says, you want to be my disciple? Take up your cross and follow me. There is a cost to revival. There is a cost. Jesus doesn't ask us to come and give us our half of our lives. He doesn't say, look, just give me your arm, the rest of your body can do whatever it wants. He doesn't say, just give me your eyes and do it. He says, give me everything. But here's where we get it so wrong. In war, when you surrender, you lose. So in sport, if you surrender, you lose. In Jesus, if you surrender to him, you win. If you say, not my will, but your will be done, you win. If you say, here I am, use me, I am yours, you win. Why? Because he has won. Before you're saved, you're selfish. When you become saved, you're selfless. It's a selfless sacrifice. That's why Romans 12 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. For this is your reasonable worship. It's reasonable for us to give God everything because he saved us from everything. He filled us and gave us purpose with everything. It is reasonable. So my question and my invitation, see, this cause isn't a cause that's forced on you. See, God doesn't subscript you by force. In war, there would be subscription that people would have to go to war. There are countries in the world that you get subscripted to give 2 years of national service. You have to by law. In Jesus, he doesn't say you have to, he invites you to. And he says, when you do, this is what will happen. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What are all these things? All the things that you might want to put all your energy into. He says, if you look after my business, I'll look after yours.
Wow, wasn't that amazing? And I'm sure it's exactly what you needed to hear right now for what you're going through. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at Planet Shakers. Keep in touch in this season that we're in. And also you can email us or check our website for other details as well.